You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Stay tuned, folks. There's more. Doyle is coming. Doyle is coming, ladies and gentlemen, and he's coming for you. And he'll be here in just a moment. Tonight you're learning a portion of the hidden religion practiced behind the veil in the lodge without windows. All of the fraternal orders practice this religion, ladies and gentlemen. They practice it in secret and withhold it from you. And because you do not know it, they refer to you as cattle, cattle, cattle. So, on the one hand, they say that you are the profane and are not worthy of the knowledge. And on the other hand, they say you are ignorant, stupid animals, cattle, because you do not know it. It is a lie. They are liars. They deceive and manipulate with this knowledge. Anything born of a lie and lived as a lie is nothing but a lie. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what you've all been waiting for, here's Doyle.
Hey, what's going on? Oh, we got to kill something first.
Got to kill what? What do you got to kill? Oh, yeah. We've got to take 101.1 FM Eager off the air. We will be back on the air between about 15 to 30 minutes. So if you're listening in the Round Valley, tune back in about 15 minutes and every few minutes after that until you get us. That is, if you want to listen to the rest of the broadcast. We will be opening the phone lines at about 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, and that will be 11 p.m. Eastern. It will be, let me see, that'll be 8, 9, 10 Central, and 8 Pacific Daylight. Okay, Mr. Doyle, it's all yours.
All right.
Have fun.
Oh, yes.
I've got to get out of here.
Yeah, take a break. Here you go.
Thank you, sir.
Ready? Alrighty, want to cover a few things real quick tonight. I think we'll start off with the radio. In particular, the Panasonic had some inquiries about it as far as exactly what its features were, so I want to cover those again. The Panasonic 12-band radio, it's got 9 shortwave bands, FM, medium, long wave, FM stereo, 9 shortwave bands, along with your FM medium, you know, AM, long wave bands also. Comes with a stereo headphone jack, tone controls. It's got the DC power jack, as in you can get the AC to DC converter directly off a wall outlet from the batteries. It also runs off AA batteries too. This is a really nice radio. The Panasonic shortwave is RF-B11. That's RF-B11. The price is $58.95 plus $6 postage. Okay, that's $58.95 for the Panasonic shortwave radio, plus $6 postage and handling. That's UPS. The retail on this unit is $89.95. and we have found it for even more at some places. The other one I'd like to cover is the Sangean 808. This is the ATS 808 Sangean. It's digital, all band, continuous coverage, AM, FM, FM stereo, long wave, AM, and medium wave, which is, and then PLL synthesized, which is phase locked loop. Okay, that's digital entry directly to the frequency you want. It's got a large LCD display, makes it quite easy to see exactly what frequency you're on. If you were to type in or tune in to WBCQ right on the display, you will see 7.415 megahertz. Makes it real simple to find out where you're at. It's got the 12 and 24 hour clocks, 45 memory presets, the, like I said, continuous shortwave coverage 120 meters down. It comes with a suede pouch, stereo headphones, the shortwave listening book, extended antenna, adapters included. Runs on AA batteries or an AC to DC adapter. The price of this, the ATS 808, is $159.95 plus $6 shipping. It's $159.95 for the ATS 808 Sangean digital shortwave. And the retail we've seen is high as $259.95 from some other places. Okay. Next, what we'll do, we'll cover the books and audio tapes. I'll start out with the audio book. This is the audio book of Behold a Pale Horse from Alternative Audio. It's 3 hours of information, a two-tape audio set, 10 minutes of brand new material. It's read by the author, William Cooper. It's professionally produced and packaged. This is a really nice set right here. The price for the audiobook of Behold a Pale Horse is $19.95, postage paid. Okay, that's $19.95 for the audiobook of Behold a Pale Horse. This makes a really nice gift for those of you who can't find the gumption to read a very large book or the time. This is a good alternative, although much abridged from the full book. This is $19.95 for Behold a Pale Horse audiobook. Now, the actual printed book of Behold a Pale Horse, written by William Cooper, it is over 500 pages of well-documented, some of the most suppressed information ever published. It is $30 postage paid. Okay, that's Behold a Pale Horse. 500 pages, well-documented, the most well-documented, suppressed information ever published, $30 postage paid. Okay, next I want to go to Veritas. I had some questions on the phone about Veritas. Veritas is not a newsletter or a flyer or a memo. It is a newspaper. It addresses issues that affect your individuality and freedom, fully documents all sources for readers to confirm. It's hand-delivered to key representatives and media bureaus in Washington, D.C. It challenges the readers to think for themselves. Veritas, a 12-issue subscription, is $55. If you would like a sample copy of this, as in the current issue, to see what it's all about, what is contained within a Veritas, you can do so. Just request a sample copy of Veritas. That's $5. Okay. But the 12-issue subscription for Veritas is $55, 12 issues of Veritas, full-size international newspaper. Okay, next I'd like to cover Oklahoma City Day 1. It's a detailed account of the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, April 19, 1995. It was written by Michelle Marie Moore with a foreword by William Cooper. This gives you insight and details into the events surrounding the Oklahoma City bombing, which you probably have not heard or seen prior to this book. It's an excellent account, documented. This is a really good book, a very large book.
What is it page-wise?
640 pages, about 2 pounds.
Yeah, 640 pages, about 2 pounds. It's a large, heavy book. A lot of meat to dig into. It's Oklahoma City Day 1. It's $16 postage paid. Okay, that's Oklahoma City Day 1, detailed account of the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, from April 19, 1995. It's $16, postage paid. Okay, next thing I'd like to cover is the Zapruder tape. Zapruder tape. It's from November 22nd, 1963, Abraham Zapruder stood on a concrete abutment near the famous Grassy Knoll in Dallas, intending to film only the president's motorcade. Instead, he filmed the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Zapruder rushed the film to a lab where it was developed. A local TV station aired what became known, as the Zapruder film the very same night. The film was confiscated shortly thereafter and transported to the National Photographic Laboratories in Washington, D.C. The film was eventually returned to Abraham Zapruder, who promptly auctioned off to the highest bidder, Time Life Incorporated. The film was never made available to public scrutiny. In 1992, William Cooper acquired a first-generation copy on 35mm color-positive film. The copy was immediately made on 1-inch videotape. They're offering a brilliant color copy of the now-famous Zapruder film on VHS videotape at its normal speed, quarter speed, one-tenth speed, and frame-by-frame, included all in one video.
Also includes all the footage of what's in Dealey Plaza that nobody ever understood before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this video also has the footage of Dealey Plaza, the buildings, the layout, and the monuments, I guess you call them.
The obelisk,
yeah, the reflecting pool, the window, everything that most people have not seen before or noticed. This is also on the tape. This is a chance to acquire a very rare part of history. It's definitely an eye-opener. This is a Zapruder film. It's $40 postage paid. It's $40 for the Zapruder film, postage paid. Okay, now, if you need the address to write to inquire about products or order or information, or the phone number, the address is Hour of the Time, care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. And the phone number, you can leave a message in the voicemail system, is 520-333-4578. And between 1 and 5 Mountain Time, Monday through Friday, we will do our best to answer the phone so that you can actually talk to a real human being. That's sometimes hard because of research and work and whatnot. But the number is 520-333-4578. There's a full directory, and it's quite easy to find the proper voicemail box that you may need. Okay. I think now we'll cover, had a few questions on the phone to this afternoon yesterday. And I noticed one in writing in the mail about a couple of the items from the, as far as the kits for first aid and whatnot. I want to cover a couple of those. The first one is the Traveler. The Traveler is a very nice, well-rounded out package. It's called a personal care package. The name's the Traveler. It's an excellent item to have on hand in a closet, or it's available in a household or in the trunk of a car, especially if you travel a lot or drive a lot in your job. It contains over 50 items. All fits in a nice nylon, water-resistant carrying bag with a strap, shoulder strap. It comes with the carrying case, obviously, the duct tape, emergency blanket, the Wallace guidebook, which is an excellent first aid manual, a flashlight with batteries, food rations, tissue packs, utility bags, water rations, and the medical. It has adhesive bandages, adhesive tape, alcohol wipes, aspirin, first aid cream, like the antibiotic cream, gauze pads, gauze rolls, razor blades and towelettes. This is a really nice package right here. This is the Traveler. It's some inquiries, so I wanted to go over again what was contained in it. It comes in a nice nylon zip-up bag. It's the Traveler is $37.95 plus postage. Call for details on postage. Okay, $37.95 plus postage for the Traveler. The next one I'd like to cover is the Super Arc. The Super Arc is in a box. It's a heavy cardboard box, shrink-wrapped, to keep it all together and secure. Inside the ARC, which is essentially it's another type of personal care kit. It has some of the products are removed from it, less oriented for travel. It's more for around the home or in a closet. as in it doesn't have duct tape and whatnot. It weighs approximately 5 pounds. It's got a it's an excellent gift for people, holiday gifts, premium incentive awards, ad specialties, good in the, for traveling. Although it does not have some of the items the traveling kit has more specific to that. Contains, yeah.
They're not interested in what it doesn't have. They want to know what it has.
Uh-huh.
Tell them what it has.
Now there seems to be a lot of confusion between the
two. Well, that's because you're telling them it doesn't have stuff in the other one, and they don't really know what's in any of them. You got to tell them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what they need to know.
Okay. Anyway, this contains food, water, light stick, medical supplies, as in gauze pads, bandages, aspirin, antibiotic ointment, cleaning pads. It's all contained in a separate first aid kit within it. It's got the emergency or space blanket, waterproof matches, light stick and candle for light. It's a really nice little kit here. The Super Arc is $19.95 plus postage. It weighs approximately 5 pounds to give you an idea of what the postage might be to your area. Call for details. We'll get you the exact postage. That will be the most inexpensive and best postage possible for your area. Then a couple more things I'd like to cover. I had some more questions about the Wallace Guidebook. This Wallace Guidebook is a comprehensive first aid manual. It covers subjects ranging from minor cuts, bruises, and scrapes to childbirth. It's very extensive. It was written by the founder of one of the largest of the preparedness and disaster relief organizations / companies in America. It's an excellent addition to any first aid kit or library. It can really help out. If you have those dings and cuts around the house, especially if you have small children, and or if your line of work causes you to get injured quite a bit. I seem to get injured all the time, everything I do. And luckily, I've got to read this book and stuff, so I know how to keep myself, my wounds, to treat them properly and keep myself halfway clean to keep out of more serious trouble. So Wallace Guidebook, it's $5.49 plus postage. Again, you can call or write for details. Okay, that's the Wallace Guidebook. It's $5.49 plus postage. Yeah, you want to cover that one? You got one left? Yeah. And then I think that was the inquiries I had this week was centered around those three items and the books and videos. If you want the information packet, I want to go over that again. I had a couple calls today, in fact, of how to get the information kit. They had the phone number here. So to get an information packet, which covers the audio tapes, the books, the videos, other products, the 1998 broadcast list, plus the Mystery Babylon tape set list, you need to send $1 with an SASE number 10 size envelope. It's a business number 10 size envelope. Self-addressed, please. With 75 cents postage. Okay, that's $1 plus a self-addressed stamped envelope with 75 cents on it, and we'll send you out the information packet. It's a lot of stuff. That's why the postage is up there. It's a lot of pages crammed in one envelope. Okay, so that's, you can, and also there again, if you want to inquire in general and don't know exactly what all is offered here, get the information packet. It's a good starter because it tells you in detail the videos, books, audio tapes, and products that we have. Okay? The next thing I'd like to discuss is the pocket mechanic. The pocket mechanic is a 15-in-1 tool. It's a very nice implement. It's made out of heavy stainless steel, some kind of Krylon type handles. It has pliers, wire cutters that actually work, a pry bar, Phillips screwdriver, saw, files, two sizes of flat tip screwdrivers, a cam bottle opener, wire strippers, a blade, a sheet foot type blade. It's very heavy duty. It's well made. This is a really nice tool right here. This is the 15-in-1 tool. It's a nice item. Comes in a heavy Kundura nylon sheath. With a belt loop, and it's actually the way the case is designed, it can be worn two different directions on the belt for carry or strapped to a backpack or a day pack or whatnot. It's a good tool to have around if you're out working, comes in handy, especially if you're out backpacking or hiking or anything like that, or just want to wear it around your house, and it comes in handy quite often. The price of the 15-in-1 tool is $34.95, postage paid. That's $34.95 for the 15-in-1 tool. That's postage paid, and they'll be sent out quite rapidly after you receive your orders. It's a really nice tool. It's a good deal, and it's a step above many of the more popular tools you see on the market.
About half price.
So, there you go. We got one of the Columbia River knives left. This is a very nice knife. It's it has a bead blasted finish, very heavy construction, Allen bolts used throughout, not dinky rivets or something. Very heavy Allen head bolts holding it together, round headed, very smooth. It's got a thumb opening stud. It's made of a heavy steel. It's very sharp. You can open it one handed and close it the same. Has a lanyard loop hole. It's really nice. Comes with a Kondura nylon sheath and a lifetime warranty to the owner. Okay, it's a really nice tool, especially if you follow the care instructions inside and don't use it as a pry bar. It'll last you for quite a while. This is a knife meant for use, not for just looks or carrying around. It's meant for heavy, hard use. Now, there's only one of those left, actually. So, there's only one left. We're not joshing you to get people to rush out. That's all we have left. That's $34.95, postage paid. That's the Columbia River knife. It's a really nice item. And I say it's well built. You will not be disappointed in the quality of the manufacturer. Okay, that's about it.
Is
that it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Wow. I'm still tired. Give me one of those Snuffy Smith knives.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to give away a Snuffy Smith knife, folks, tonight. Anybody who calls in and can tell us exactly what we had for dinner. Or for supper. You can tell us exactly what we had for supper. Doyle and I and Annie and Allison and Pooh. And I think the Crusher had some of it.
Yeah, I think so.
That dropped under the table. You tell us exactly what we had for supper tonight. You win a Snuffy Smith knife. How about that? Okay. So we're going to open the phones at 520-333-4578. Right now we're going to put 101.1 FM Eager back on the air. And 101.1 FM Eager is now back on the air. For those of you listening in the Round Valley, if you call in, and I know you didn't hear this, if you call in and you can tell us exactly what we had for supper tonight, you win a Snuffy Smith knife. How about that? The phones are open, 520-333-4578. You can talk about what you heard earlier on the broadcast or anything that you wish to discuss is okay with me. And let me see here. What am I doing? I'm going to do this like we always do. Let me open the phones and get a little marching music here. Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. We believe in freedom, ladies and gentlemen. We don't care who you are. We don't care what color your skin is. We don't care what religion you believe in. If you believe in freedom for all people to be who they wish or who they can be and strive to the ultimate capability or ultimate achievement of their capability. If you believe that in order for you to be able to worship your religion, you must give freedom to worship to all other people, then you're one of us. We believe freedom is the ultimate achievement of all humankind. Good evening. You're on the air.
Are you there, Bill?
Good evening. You're on the air.
I was just curious.
Need to put your mouth in front of your phone and talk real loud, please.
I was just curious about this dinner thing.
Supper.
Are you going to give us any clues?
No. No clues.
Well, I was just fixing to go to bed and thought I'd call and ask.
Well, what do you think we have? You might just guess it.
Oh, gosh. I hadn't gone that far to think about it.
Really?
Well, let's see. Since you put me on the spot here, steak, baked potatoes, salad.
Well, that certainly sounds good, but that's not what we have.
T-bone.
Nope.
That would sound pretty good.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good, but that's not what we have.
All right. Well, good night, Bill.
Okay. Good night. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
And if anybody doesn't believe what we had, we'll let Pooh be the ultimate revealer. if somebody thinks that they guessed it and we didn't tell them or something. 520-333-4578 is the number. Oh, boy. I am so tired.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, huh?
It was that dinner.
It was that dinner. It made me sleepy before we even started this thing.
Yep.
Let me describe this Snuffy Smith knife for you. It's a nice knife. It's sharp. It's a carbon steel. This is carbon steel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's carbon steel blade, which is what I like the best. I don't like stainless steel. Unless whatever knife I'm using is going to be subjected to an awful lot of water and stuff like that. And nothing wrong with stainless steel. It's just that I like the feel of a carbon steel blade when I sharpen a knife. I really can get a good edge on a carbon steel blade. This is this knife commemorates Snuffy Smith, which is the old cartoon figure from the 30s and 40s. And even up in the 50s, I can remember seeing Snuffy Smith as a child in the comic books, and it shows their old shack, I guess, in the Ozarks or someplace like that, and a little kid that wears a coonskin cap that is always running around playing tricks on Snuffy, and then there's Ma holding that little bald-headed baby with her red sweater and her black scarf over her head and her white apron, and then there's Snuffy Smith down at the bottom with his big old clumsy feet and his big old nose and his eyes are always closed, and somewhere within reach, there's a jug. There's always a jug. Good evening. You're on the air.
Can you hear me all right, Bill?
Sure can.
Great. Hey, I want to say you guys got a tremendous signal here in central Indiana on your new station.
Well, good.
And I think what you had for dinner was chili.
Nope.
Oh.
Wasn't chili.
Okay, well, I gave it my best shot. Thanks.
But we like chili, too.
Yeah. I was listening to your the reading or whatever it was you were doing earlier this evening about the mysteries and what these people believe. And I wanted to take, like a specific example. One evening a while back, you mentioned Ted Gunderson.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm having a little bit of trouble with biting off is it would seem to me that it would be very difficult for people like Gunderson or Clinton or whoever you want to choose, that they would actually believe the stuff.
Why? What? Now, see, this is what I don't understand. What religion do you belong to?
Christian.
Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's any more difficult for them to believe that than for you to believe that God was born in the human body of a virgin mother on this earth and offered himself up to be crucified on a cross in order to absorb and take away sin from all people who, after that, believed in him?
Yeah, I do. And the reason is that I think there's more tangible evidence of biblical Christianity in nature, you know, in nature and the world itself.
You're missing the whole point. See, you believe it, so it's easy for you to say that. But you're listening to me give you an arcane philosophy that you've never heard before or knew very little about. And so for you, it's difficult to believe. Imagine yourself somebody from somewhere else who never heard of Christianity. Do you think it's any easier for them to believe your religion than it is to believe what you heard on here tonight?
Well, I see what you're saying, that belief is belief, and ultimately, each person's going to believe what they've either heard or what they want to believe.
That's right. That's why they call it religion. It's based upon strictly faith. You must have faith that it's true or you can't believe it. There is no factual proof anywhere. There is no scientific anything that can back up any basic religion tenets of any religion on the face of this earth. That's why religion is called religion and science is called science.
Yeah, I guess I understand that. Go back to Ted Gunderson, for example. You know, he's a pretty logical guy, or he seems to, yet he's going around the country spouting off about this hydrodynamic bomb that he claims blew up Oklahoma City, when it's obvious that a person with a brain can look at General Parton's report and determine that columns that are a certain distance from the center of a blast
had to have shape charges put on those columns. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure out what Parton is saying there, that the theory that it was done by one bomb is a bunch of crap.
Absolutely.
It's obvious. But how can a guy like Ted Gunderson go around the country ignoring that evidence and spreading this other theory? Is he actually know what he's doing, or is he a dupe?
Well, you have to ask Ted Gunderson that.
Well, Ted's not going to tell me the truth.
Well, you don't know that. You haven't asked him yet. You never know till you ask him. Ted seems to me to be somebody who's been taken in by somebody else on some things. For instance, he claims he got that story from a very well-known con man named Reconosciuto.
Right, who's in jail.
Who's in jail and who claims all kinds of things, including having flown George Bush to France for the October surprise.
Yeah, right, I've heard that story too.
The man is not all there. And anybody who believes that Reconosciuto is telling the truth is just not all there either. But, you know, Ted might believe him. I don't know.
What is the, do you know at all, what is the real story behind Bogreitz getting shot? Did somebody...
All I know is Bogreitz shot himself in the chest with a .45 in an attempt to commit suicide. Now, that tells me that he had no intention of committing suicide.
He
must have shot himself with a bullet out of which he had dumped most of the powder, because you can't shoot yourself in the chest with a .45 and then get up and walk out of a hospital 2 days later.
That's an interesting thought.
Bogreitz is an old military man.
Yep.
He's killed a lot of people. He knows how to kill himself.
Yeah. I never thought about reducing the powder charge. I never thought about that one.
Yeah.
Well, what would the purpose be for a fake suicide attempt on his part?
Say, how the hell do I know? All I know is it's phony.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
There's no man in this world who's ever been in combat and actually killed people and seen people killed would ever shoot himself in the chest with a .45 in the first place.
It'd be kind of a low probability shot, wouldn't it?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it looks like I'm going to have to go back and do some more studying. What it comes down to.
Yeah. And remember, you know, I wasn't trying to attack your religion as a Christian. I was trying to get you to look at it because you expressed surprise that somebody would believe what you heard early on this broadcast. But, you know, many other people would express surprise that you or I would believe what we believe.
Well, the reason I expressed surprise is that part of the reason that I subscribe to the Christian religion and believe in the Christian religion is because it seemed like, amongst other things, there's a great deal of tangible evidence for it. It's not just a matter of faith. There's quite a bit of, if you compare what the Bible says to the world that we live in, you see it explaining creation, the creation of living beings.
That does not explain Jesus Christ. That just explains the existence of God, which any reasonable person can see in the order of the universe and in nature around us. That's easy to see, but to believe in Jesus Christ and what he represents to Christians and what they believe he was and did and what the end result was of that action, is you can't see that by looking around in nature. That you either have to believe or discard altogether.
Yeah, I guess that element of it is strictly an element that you have to take on faith. I agree with you there.
Yes, and that's what makes Christianity Christian.
So mystery religions also have their, they obviously have their God or whatever they accept as.
Their God is them.
Right.
See, they allude to a God, and then they say that God is actually Lucifer on earth. And then as you delve into it and begin to understand it, it always ends up that it's man that's God.
Well, how do they explain the existence of the earth that we live on and their own existence?
I just read that to you tonight. They believe that is the springing forth from the nothingness of primordial matter. The original thought. Thought, desire, action. Those are the three sides of the triangle.
I see.
The triad.
So I guess they're...
Trilateral.
For their purposes, yeah, triangle and everything else. I suppose for their purposes, that's just as valid of an explanation of their existence as the Christians. View of creation, then.
Yes, they don't believe that there's some old guy with a long beard sitting on a throne up in heaven who waved his arm and said that there'd be light and grabbed up some dust and breathed air into it and made man.
Right. They just have a different.
In fact, they would say that what I just told you was absolute nonsense.
Right. They attribute it to some other process.
Yeah, they attribute it to the manifestation of an original thought which created in its being or bringing forth primordial matter out of the nothingness or the virgin.
Do you think it's possible, too, that there are people that are higher within the levels of illumination that maybe believe in the God that Christians believe in, but...
They don't believe in anything. See, you're trying to read a lot of stuff in here that's not. All of this stuff that I gave you tonight is how they attract initiates, is how they build their organization, is how they lead their followers around by the nose. At the highest level, they don't believe in any of that. They don't believe there's a God. They don't believe there's a Satan. They don't believe there's a devil. They don't believe anything.
Well, I guess...
They believe that man is here, and man, if he uses his intellect, can conquer it all.
I guess what I'm questioning that thesis on the basis of the Bible's teachings concerning the...
They don't believe in the Bible. They believe the Bible is an esoteric tome that's been mistranslated, abused, and misused by people throughout history. And that it was originally put together as a political manipulation of the Roman emperor, who at that time was the Pope, in order to rule the world. It was a merger of church and state, the cross and the crown. Some people want to go back to it. Look for that cross and crown, and you'll see people who want an emperor and a religion melded into one.
Isn't it equally possible, though, that the people who have constructed the mystery religions have created the system of thinking that you just described for the purpose of manipulating those others while having a different belief within themselves that they don't disclose publicly?
No. No, this is an ancient religion. This religion existed long before Christianity was even a spot in anybody's mind.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that it goes back to the very dawn of man as far as,
yeah,
as we can.
It started with the first guy who saw Prometheus strike a tree and start a fire, and he grabbed a branch and learned how to keep it going. And he learned to manipulate and control others with this knowledge, and he told them that there was something mystical or religious about it. He became the first king and the first priest.
So you don't believe, based on your readings, then, that there is any possibility that the people...
I just told you.
At the highest level...
You can ask me that question a million times, you're going to get the same answer. No.
Okay.
At the highest levels, they believe in man and man's intellect.
All right.
They believe that when you die, nothing happens. You just turn to dust.
Well, what is the motivation for them continuing this movement then, generation after generation after generation.
It's to conquer death.
But if those who have gone before are dead and they're dead, that's it. There's nothing. There's no afterlife. There's nothing else for them.
That's right.
What is their motivation? Why wouldn't they be more interested in what they can?
I told you a while ago. It's how they're attracted into these things. They don't get promoted to the top and learn the ultimate truth unless they're worthy of handling it. And by then, they're so hooked into the system and they have so many blood oaths under their belt, they couldn't get out if they wanted to. They have no choice but to further the plan. Socialists and communists and people at the highest levels of the Illuminati do not believe in God or Satan. They believe that man is God, or that man is becoming God is a more accurate term for it. And that when they conquer genetics and they learn the last secrets of science, they will have a race of people, or leaders, as they call it, who will keep a slave race like us alive just to serve them, and they will live forever, conquer the universe, rule over matter and the whole known system.
What then is our role? As you said the other night, we're to resist it. To what degree are we to resist it? I mean, there's a lot of things that we could be doing right now that we as a society or as patriots or whatever, however you want to label the different people that are interested in this type of thing. There's different things we could be doing, all the way from education all the way up to, you know, active civil war.
I've told you 100 times, civil war is out of the question. Restoration is what we must be after.
And by that, you mean the restoration of our constitutional form of government.
Restoration of constitutional republican government, yes.
Okay.
That's the most perfect, best, most promising, most freedom-granting government that's ever existed on the face of this earth, and I've never seen anything better.
The reason I'm asking you these questions is because I listen to your broadcast and I read Veritas, but sometimes it's hard to put all these questions together.
I don't know why. I've led you with a personal example. I'm willing to give my life. How far should you go? Well, how bad do you love, or how well do you love freedom? I'm willing to give my life. I've already stuck my neck out. Long, long, long ago I stuck it out.
Right.
I knew my fate was sealed years ago.
Yep.
I'm willing to give my life because I know something. I know a secret that most people just can't seem to grasp. If you're not willing to give your life for freedom, you cannot be free. You cannot have it. You will never be free.
Yep.
Because it's easy to take it away from you. They just send a couple of guys up. Big, brawny guys with muscles, with guns, or with baseball bats, and they say, you're either going to do what the hell we say you're going to do, or we're going to kill you. If you're not willing to die for freedom, you have just become their slave.
That's correct.
Well, you see, I'm willing to die for it.
I think probably...
If they came up to my home and took my daughter and put a gun to her head and say, you do what we say, or we're going to kill her, you know what I'd say?
He'd say, go ahead and kill her, and I'll take deal with you guys later.
That's exactly what I would say.
Yep.
I would say kill her. But I would spend the rest of my life hunting them down.
Absolutely.
And I would kill them and all whom they belonged to.
Well, I think that kind of spirit was a lot more obvious to people who lived in the year 1776 than it's kind of been bred out of us now. And I think it's just now beginning to... be realized again.
Yeah. But you see, there's some people out there who would say, you were wrong. You let them kill your daughter? Man, I'd do whatever they said. Not understanding what they have just committed to.
Yep.
They have committed to become a slave and commit their children to slavery because they did not have the courage of their convictions, nor do they believe in anything worthwhile enough that they're willing to give the ultimate sacrifice so that it will prevail for further generations down the line.
It's basically selfishness, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what makes me more dangerous than anybody who would fight for world government or fight for this arcane bullshit philosophy or the United Nations flag or the Freemasonic Lodge or any of that crap. Yeah. Because I'll die for my beliefs, and they won't.
Yeah.
They're all cowards. That's why they hide behind lies and manipulation. They don't have the courage of their convictions to stand up and state their convictions and march to fight for them.
No.
They're manipulators, liars.
Our brothers against us to fight later.
Yeah. Hold on. Just a second.